Today I continue a series that we're calling All Day Worship, considering the ways that we worship not only in this space, right, and for this hour on a Sunday morning, but the ways that in our lives we worship God even throughout the lives that we live in the week ahead of us, right, in our Monday through Saturday, what worship looks like when we do that. So today I'm going to be reading a selection that comes from Ecclesiastes. This comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm reading the first 14 verses, where the wisdom writer in Ecclesiastes, the teacher, says this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of humans. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does this so that people will fear him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, then, considering worship, what this all-day worship looks like. Let me start with this question. If you could have one superpower, what would you choose? Right? If you know superheroes and comic books and movies, right? If you could pick one superhero power, just one, what superhero power would you choose to have? Only one, right? So think about all the superheroes that you know from comics or movies. Which one thing would you choose? But now, let me ask a follow-up question to that, right? The next question is this: with your one superhero power, pick one thing you would do with it, just one. Right? What is one thing that you would do with your superhero power? Now, don't think something generic, right? Like, I would help people. Think of something specific, all right? So think of one specific thing that you would do with the one superhero power that you wish you could have, right? One specific thing. For example, I would use my laser vision to bake chocolate chip cookies. Something specific I would do with my superhero power. I would use my invisibility to sneak into the teacher's lounge and see what really goes on in there, where students aren't allowed to go. Something like that. All right, so maybe that's something that kids do. That's a children's game, right? Imagine that you have a superhero power and do that. But it's striking to me that in any culture throughout the world, that they all have stories about superheroes. Right, superhuman abilities. That there are stories in all cultures going back centuries about heroes who could do extraordinary things. Something about that resonates with us. Resonates with us in who we are. Why is that? I think part of that has to do with a world in which we live, in which we see things that we wish we could control, but we don't have the power to control it. Right? That's kind of the point of having a superpower, that there's something in my world in front of me or around me that I wish I could have control over in some way, but I don't have the power to control it. So if I had some kind of a superpower, I could control this one thing in my life. So when it really comes down to it, Yeah, maybe it's a game to think of superpowers and what I would do with that superpower, but you start going into that a little more deeply, and then we might get back to some things of what I really would want to do, to turn back the clock and to change something in my past, to take on a part of my world in which right now I feel helpless to do anything about, and I cannot change it on my own. That's where it has its resonance. That's where that resonates with us as people. That we all have parts of our lives which feel a little bit beyond our grasp to control on our own. And if I only had the means, the power, some way to control those parts of my world that I feel helpless to do anything about otherwise. I think that's a little bit of what the author, the teacher in Ecclesiastes, is getting at when he writes this book in Ecclesiastes, this book of wisdom that he gives us, that he is talking about for us something about this world in which there are things that happen that are beyond our control that we can do nothing about. Right? He's making this list there, a list of the times, a list of times that he sees them, that he observes before him, a list of times that he observes as, this is just what happens in the world. I looked out and I saw the world and I observed everything that I could see, and this is what I saw. All of these different events that take place before me over which I don't seem to have any control. I can't do anything about it one way or the other. This is just the way life goes as I observe that. In that list of times, that's what he is declaring for us when he talks about a time to born and a time to die, right? A time to plant and a time to uproot. He's observing, describing the world around him. And it's important to note the difference here, the difference between a description of the world and a prescription, that this is not a list that is prescribing, but rather it's a list that is describing, a description of the world around us. There's a difference between those two things. A description is merely an observation. I'm just observing what I see and I'm telling you what I observe. That is the description. A prescription is a mandate for activity. This is the way it ought to be. And there's a difference between those two. It's important to note that I think today, because often when we as people who follow God read the Bible, we maybe have the tendency to take everything in the Bible and think, this is a prescription. Right, this is God's will for us at all times and in all places, that every single thing in the Bible must be God's will. And certainly there are parts of the Bible that are a prescribed will of God, but not everything. Some parts of the Bible are descriptions where the authors simply describe for us something of the world around them at their time to observe. For example, when Jesus summarizes the law of God, and he says, the law of God summarizes in this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourselves. That is a prescribed mandate, right? That is a prescribed mandate of the will of God for all people in all times and at all places. But then, on the other hand, when the Apostle Paul writes about how masters should treat their slaves and slaves should obey their masters, it's not that God is prescribing the institution of slavery. We wouldn't say that. But rather we would say, no, Paul is describing, he's giving a description of something that exists in his world at his time, and then he's applying a biblical truth into that description. Make sense? Understand the difference? So in the Bible, you find examples of both, of a prescribed will of God and then a description of the world around. That is what we see here in Ecclesiastes, that the author of Ecclesiastes sets out through this entire letter, through his book that he writes, to make a description of the world as he sees it. Not necessarily saying this is the will of God, that it should be this way, but he's simply saying this is what I see. This is what I observe when I see the world around me. Now, maybe that should go without saying when you read something of this list, because it makes sense in some ways, right? Some of those things that you find on the list, a time to kill, a time to hate, a time to tear down, those don't necessarily make sense as something that God would put as something as his will for our lives. But they are a description of what we see in the world around us. And a description that follows all ends of the spectrum. That when the author here of Ecclesiastes looks at the world around him, he says, you know what, I look out and I see examples of everything. I see examples of love in the world, but I also see examples of hate when I look around. I see when I look around me war that takes place, but I also see times where people live in peace together. He's simply taking stock of what he sees around him and noting the extremes in the examples that are there. And what does that mean then? I think that sort of maybe draws the similarity, where it brings out some of those parts of our world where maybe we wish we could change some things. Parts of the world over which I think I don't have any control and I'm helpless to control. And what would I change if I could? Right? When I think about all those times that are listed there in those parts of the world in which I see parts of my world in which I think everything is going right and it's exactly the way I would want it to go. But then I see other parts of the world around me in which I wish I could do something different about that, but I'm helpless. I cannot change that. I wish it could be different. If only, right? If only I could be the star of the sports team and help win the game. If only I didn't have to deal with health problems and chronic pain that comes along. If only I could have landed that account at work and gotten the promotion for the big deal. You live long enough and sooner or later our lives come with some of those if only kind of moments. Those parts of our world that if only I had some kind of power to go back and change and make that different. Make that the way I think it should be, the way I wanted it to go. We all have those moments. I think that's what the author of Ecclesiastes here is setting up for us. He's reminding us of a world in which we live, in which some things that happen in this world are simply beyond our control. What can we do about it one way or the other, except to walk away with this wish list? This wish list of things that if only I could make it different, if only I could do it differently, if only I could have control in some way over my circumstances around me. That's what he's setting up for us. So in this series, we've been talking about worship and what it means for us to worship outside of this place in the lives that we live. Today, then, considering that we do that in a world in which we don't have control over all the things that happen around us, right? That we go and we live in a world where some things go our way and some things don't go our way. And how are we then, as people of God, called to be worshipers in a world like that, right? In a world where, all right, some things, yes, I can absolutely worship God for some of those parts of my lives. And other parts of my life, I find a struggle. Where am I supposed to find a place of worship in a moment of struggle? What does that look like? We've talked about worship as a series of habits. That's what I've set up over the last couple of weeks. That worship is essentially repetition of habits. Habits that we do over and over again because it is the repetition of those habits that create an impact upon our lives. Today I want us also to note that worship is so often a reaction, right? It's a response that God calls us into worship and we respond with worship. We begin our worship services here that way every single week. That before we start singing, we read a passage of Scripture or something that reminds us that God is the one who calls us forth into worship. And our worship is then a response, a reaction, an answer to God's call for us. That He prompts worship within our hearts and we respond with the worship that we give. And as a response then, perhaps we in many ways tie our response of worship to other things that go on around us. Because what happens maybe when we don't feel like worshiping? Right? What happens on those days where you think, you know, I just don't know if I have it in me. I'm just not feeling it today for whatever reason. That maybe that's our excuse that I can bow out there. You know what? I'm just not feeling it today. I'll just kind of cut out. There's no worship that I can really respond to today. That's so often the activities or the situations, the times in our lives can swing that response for us one way or the other, right? Because let's be honest, every single one of us maybe has had days like that. Days where I'm just not feeling it today. How am I supposed to worship God today when I just don't feel like there's anything going on in my life right now for which I can give worship, that we have a response, a reaction like that? What do we do about that? What does that look like? For some of us, maybe that ties back to another time, right? That maybe we look backwards and think, you know, there was a time in my life where things seemed to be going exactly the way that God had arranged them for me, and I was happy to be walking in that way, and I'm looking back at maybe this golden era that I used to have in my life, and if I could just get back to that, if God could just bring me back to this time when everything was perfect the way that I think God should have left it to be that way, then I could worship Him. Right? Then, that was the time in my life when worship was the best. And if I could just get that back, then worship could be the best again. Or maybe for others, it's looking ahead. You know, if God could just bring me to this next place, if God could just get me out of where I am now and bring me to the next place, then I will have that reason to worship Him. Then I will have that response of worship. That we're always looking at those times in our lives and evaluating and judging and making our reaction, our response of worship, swing one way or the other based upon some of those ties that we have to the other things around us. We do that in some ways, right? You know, today is one of those days where, yeah, I've got my Spartan socks on today because I can cheer on a good game when the team wins, right? There's something that I admit is entirely out of my control. I can't do one thing one way or the other about it. But when it goes the way I like to see it, then I can cheer. Wolverines here today, maybe it's a little more frustrating, right? But isn't that how our life goes? That there are things in our lives that are completely beyond our control and we can do nothing about one way or the other, but yet our reaction of who we are as people swings one way or the other based upon those, whether we're cheering or we're frustrated. And how often don't we tie our worship of God to things like that? God, when you're blessing me and life is awesome, of course I'm going to worship you. God, when I'm not seeing it, when I'm not feeling it, there's just not any worship here today. What do we do about that? How do we get past that? If we're talking about, in this series, an all-day kind of worship, what do we do on days when, you know what, there are times and events where I'm just not feeling it? It's just not there. How do we do that? Well, let's start with an inventory. An inventory. What has God given me? Right? What do I have right now? Because habits are those things that impact us the most. Habits are the things, those routines that have an impact. And we've talked about worship as being a habit, a routine, something that impacts us. Like exercise. If I go out and I exercise several times a week, you know, going out to jog once a year is not going to make me healthy or physically fit. It's only the repetition of that habit that does that. There are times when that takes different shapes, right? There are some days where, yep, it's a beautiful day. I would love to get outside and exercise and do my routine. I look forward to it. It's an invigorating thing. There are days when, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like exercising today. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway because I know that the repetition of this habit, this routine, is what gives an impact for my health, for my life. There are days when I can exercise longer, and there are days when I have to cut it short. There are days, maybe more like now, since I'm a couple weeks out from having a surgery, where I have to maybe cut back how I exercise because I'm still recovering and recuperating from a surgery. But I still have some things I can do. So what it exactly looks like might be shaped on what's happening in my life around me right now. But there are always ways where I can look at my life right now and say, I'm going to take an inventory of where I am right now in the health that I have and in the time that I have, and I can say, in the inventory of where I am right now, where can I fit that habit? Where does that routine fit? Not in a wish list of, but if I were just healthy again, then I could go do that. Or if it was just not raining outside, then I could get out and do a run. I could have all the list of reasons why I'm not feeling it. But I can also look at my life right now, take an inventory of where I am right now and say, but here's what does fit. Here's what I can do. Here's what God has given me right now. Forget about all the things that I don't have, that I wish I have, that I can't control, that are beyond my ability to do anything about. But what do I have? Right? What has God given me right now in my life? How can I worship God like that, where it begins with a habit, where I can repeat that routine, sometimes when I feel like it or not? So I start with that inventory. What has God given me right now? The author of Ecclesiastes lists all of these times that he sees around him. The world around him, things that are beyond his control, that he cannot do something about one way or the other. And he summarizes that. He summarizes that in verse 12. He says this, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their work. This is the gift of God. What do you have right now? That there is nothing better than for people to be happy and to do good while they live with what God has given right now. Sure, I could dwell on all the what-ifs and all the if-onlys, on all the things that I can't control, on all the things that I wish were different. But God has given a measure of his blessing right now, a way to respond in worship to him right now, even if it's not exactly what I had wished for, what I had hoped for. But I can still praise him. I can still worship. Psalm 42 is written by one of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were part of the Levite tribe that lived near Jerusalem. And Psalm 42 is written by one of the sons of Korah who was actually taken as a captive to the kingdom to the north. And he writes that psalm from his place of captivity up there. Psalm 42, in which he expresses his sorrow over his captivity. Right? And in Psalm 42, he writes, why, O my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? But I will put my trust in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I will yet praise him. That I take an inventory of what God has done in my life right now, of where he's placed me right now, of the blessings that he's given me right now, of the treasures of his goodness that may be there right now. Putting aside for the moment then all those if-onlys that I wish I could control but cannot. But what has God given right now as a way or a place for you to respond in worship to him? That he has given us so much in every day that we live. And if we make a habit then, a routine of finding an inventory of his blessing every day, that we can respond in worship every day to him. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward now. And we're going to do our response then as a song that we sing that is a prayer. A prayer that responds to God for the blessings that he gives. And we respond in this then, recognizing that God, even though there may be times that are beyond our control that we can do nothing about, that even in that, God has given each one of us the gift of his presence, his nearness to us, that he goes with us, and that he is by our side. So we respond with this prayer that God would take what it is that we have to offer, whatever that may be, from the treasure he's given us. Let's stand and respond together.